Just want to again welcome each and every one of you out tonight. I'm speaking a very short message. Evangelist Michael Tall is here to also minister, but we want to make room for the Holy Spirit to move tonight and minister tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for coming. Those of you from Minto, those of you from Fairbanks, those of you from Point Hope, those of you from Wasilla, those of you from Togiak, those of you from different parts of the state, from the interior. Thank you. Those of you from Anchorage and Muldoon, Spinard, wherever you came from. Thank you all so much for coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The other day, as my husband and I were praying, thank you, Lord. God is so good. We can never forget about that. Never forget about that. What he dug us out of. Let's not forget maybe it was this short. Maybe some of your holes was this short. Some of our holes was really deep. Some of them were deep. Let's not forget that. Amen. But that's not the message. It's just a friendly reminder. Yes. On Monday, October 15th, I began to inquire of the Lord. And I was saying, what about Alaska, Lord? What about us, God? What about Alaska, Lord God? I hear you moving down in Florida. I hear you moving down in California. I hear you moving down in Tennessee and wherever, Tallahassee, wherever. What about Alaska, Lord God? What about us? What are you saying to us? Where are you? I don't know how you talk to God, but I talk to him like that. Sometimes I whisper to him. Sometimes I moan. Sometimes I groan. Sometimes I yell at the top of my lungs. And in the shower, I was just wasn't inquiring nicely. I was inquiring intensely. And I said, where are you? Why are you so silent? Not that he hasn't been speaking to me, but I was wanting a specific word for Alaska. And he said, I haven't forgotten about you, even though you may feel forgotten. I haven't left you nor forsaken you, even though you may feel alone or abandoned. He says, I haven't withdrawn my plans or my purposes from you, even though many may have left their posts or leaders have fallen. He said to me, Alaska is being born again. He said, Alaska is being born again. Alaska, we are being born again. He says, I am bringing you through your rebirthing stage. No longer will you have stillbirths, as it were, premature births, or your promises stolen. But you are bringing forth that which I have placed within your very DNA, within your very bloodline, within the land. There are promises in the land. You know, I'm talking spiritual stuff, right? We're all pretty mature people in here. God has a plan and a purpose specific for Alaska. If he wanted me to, he would have had me born in Hawaii. If he wanted you to be born somewhere else in the natural, you would have been born there. But you know what? You are born here in Alaska. And some of you were born somewhere else and you were transplanted here. But you're here and we are together. And God meant for us to be together for such a time as this. Amen. And he says, I have placed within your DNA my promises. He said, Eleanor, do you believe me? And I felt like the prophet Isaiah. And I said, oh Lord, only you know. Only you know. And I said, yes, Lord, I believe you. And he said, look at Isaiah 66, 7 through 9. And like I said, I'm not going to be long because I want Michael Tall to come up here. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 66, 7 through 9. I don't want us to let this go by, people, because there are so many words, so many prophetic words that are going through the airways. Alaska, you are being born again. That, ask the Lord what he means by that when you go home. But tonight, I'm going to explain to you. Out of the word, he says, verse 7, before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who have ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? And this is Eleanor's version. Has a state ever been born in one day? Is Alaska going to be born in a day? Is Alaska going to be born in a day? If we believe it, if you believe it, let it be so according to the word. We've got to learn how to come into agreement with it, people. We've got to learn how to wage a good warfare over the prophecies that have been spoken over us. In the past, they used to say, oh, just put the word on the shelf. No, that's not God. That's not Bible. Paul told Timothy, wage a good warfare that have been spoken over you. That means, God, you said it. I believe it. And Lord God, I'm going to call it into being. I'm going to call that word that you spoke into me into being. Amen? Okay, come on, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We've got to come into agreement with the word. We've got to fight over the word, wage a good warfare in the spirit realm. We've got to learn the word, know the word, speak the word, walk in the word, and come into union with it. Amen. Amen. Some of us were told when we were kids, you'll never amount to anything. You are a pa 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 pa. And you know, some of us believe that, and there's power. But when God speaks his word, we've got to believe that word and wage a good warfare over that. And so he says, has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begins, her children will be born. Would I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and then not deliver it, asks the Lord. The Lord is asking a question. He's asking us a question. No, he said, I would never keep this nation from being born, says your God. You know, I was surprised when he said Alaska is being reborn. You know, because sometimes you know you're crying out to him, you're crying out to him, and sometimes you think, oh, he's going to say this. Oh, he might say that. Oh, maybe he's going to say this. But he will never say, oh, you low down, dirty, rotten Alaskans, I'm done with you. He will never say that. He will never say that. because he loves us. He has a plan and a purpose and a hope for us. And we've got to come into agreement with it as we are married even to our own spouses. Amen. And then he says, many of you are pregnant with dreams and hopes and ideas from the Lord. Many of you are pregnant with desires from the Lord. We have been taught that our desires are bad. You know why? It was because that was from a teaching that said you are bad. But you know what? We're not bad. When we are born again, he makes all things new. I mean, all things new. And then we start in the process of becoming new. I mean, we start in the process of believing that we are new. Alaska is being born again. I mean, we are being born again. He is birthing within us new dreams, new hopes, new vision. I mean, look at the news today. Don't let me go there. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we've got to get ready for the suddenlies. We've got to get ready for a new move. We've got to get ready and stay in time. We've got to also learn to celebrate people when they come into their new. We have not done that well, church. I'm talking to the church. We have not celebrated one another well. When God brings forth something new in somebody, I got blessed with a vehicle, and God blessed me with it. And somebody with a very good job, very high-paying job, said, made a comment. And I said, well, can you just celebrate for me? I mean, with me? I mean, can you just be a little, just little bit happy for me? And I said it, because those comments would come, and I would take it. I'd take it. Finally, one day, I said, no more. Can you just be a little bit happy for me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so we are also pregnant with prophetic words. Who in here has ever gotten a prophetic word? I'm sure almost all of us. God has spoken something to you personally or to your region. You're pregnant with them. You're pregnant with them. If you've had something good spoken over you from God, even just a kind word, even if it wasn't from the pulpit, even if it was just from some Joe Blow out in the world, and they say, you know what, I see so much, but you know, sometimes the world, unfortunately, is better at this than those of us in church. You know what? I see so much potential in you. You are so good at administrating. You are so good at it. That's a word. That's a seed that gets sown in us. And we've got to learn to celebrate those that God is using, both in the world and in church. We've got to learn to celebrate. If we don't learn to celebrate each other's victories or each other's promotions or when God uses someone else, you know what? We might get put on the shelf. There was one time when I had a word for somebody. God gave me a word for somebody, and I said, I don't want to give it to them. They've been talking about me like a low-down, dirty, rotten dog. Behind my back, and I know it. And God said to me, whose gift is it? Is it mine or is it yours? And I said, yes, sir. Die to myself. Go give that word to that person. And you watch them. You watch them. You know, just rise up. Get built up. Many of us are pregnant with promises. Many of us are pregnant even with business plans. There's people in here, you have business plans in your womb, in your spiritual womb, in your DNA. I want to pray for you. Would you please stand up? Thank you for standing, honey. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you showed me, God, that there were people, oh God, that you wanted to raise up, Lord God, with business, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you are going to cause them to prosper and to be in good health. And Lord God, that you're going to even give them creativity, Lord God, God, to allow that business plan to come forth. So, Lord God, I just call those business plans forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, that at the appointed time, Father God, at the right place, at the right time, Lord God, these businesses are going to come forth and they will be a success. And they will remember to bring their tithes and their offerings into the household of the Lord, to Kingdom Alliance, in Jesus' name. Amen. No false humility there. You might as well sow into that. He said, too, that there were inheritances. And that word came forth, too, out of Heather. There were inheritances laid up. I tell you what, I just won a big, huge battle. 120 acres to my family. Celebrate with me. Thank you. You know, I used to be embarrassed to get blessed. I used to be embarrassed to have such a wonderful husband. I used to be embarrassed to have a nice home because I would hear it. But the Lord said, why are you trying to be embarrassed for what I have blessed you with? You use it as a testimony of my goodness and my glory, and your husband and you work very hard for it. Amen. So we have learned to live within our means too. Amen. That was just extra. There are people here who are wanting to sell or buy a home. Would you please stand? I want to pray for you. God gave me these words of knowledge today. And so, Lord God, even as you moved supernaturally, God, even for Robert and I, God, you showed me a vision 28 years ago about what our house looked like, God, before I even saw it. And so, Lord God, you led us right to our home, God, and it was for an amazing price, $108,000, and it tripled, God, to over $378,000 now, God, in today's market. And so, Lord God, you are no respecter of persons, and I declare and decree, Father God, that these homes sell, Father God, quickly, Lord God, or they would buy something quickly for the right price, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord showed me that there are people who are contemplating a move. You're contemplating to move somewhere. And so, Lord God, I just pray for whoever it is, Lord God, that is contemplating to move somewhere, Lord God, that they be led of your spirit, Father God, in Jesus' name. And so the other thing that he said is we have spiritual wombs and we're pregnant. We're pregnant to bring forth promises. And he says that the land, our land itself, is pregnant. Our land is pregnant with resources. We know that. And it's getting ready to come forth in his timing and in his way. And that the government or the state or man's hands will not corrupt it. Because he has made us wise stewards. He's placing the right ones at the helm of different things for the resources to be developed properly and not for man's selfish gain. And then he said, the last thing he said was, the atmosphere in Alaska is pregnant. It's pregnant with his glory. And he's getting ready to bring forth. He said, many times we don't see it because we're too much down here. Like in Isaiah, when he was amongst a people with unclean lips, he was just in the dust, in the mire, in the earth, just listening down here to problem after problem after complaint, woe after woe after woe. I mean, that would make it kill anybody. That's just like staying down. But he had to rise up. And once he rose up, he could see. And Prophet Isaiah saw from that vantage point. And then he could say, Lord, send me. So the atmosphere in Alaska, don't look at what's going on down here. Don't look at that. It'll mess you up. You need to come up, be seated with him in heavenly places. And then you will see from that vantage point, and you will see the atmosphere in Alaska is pregnant with his glory. And it's about ready to bust. Amen. Amen. So with that, I just want to close. Come on, Michael, just give it all you got. Amen. Everybody receive Michael Tall.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not Eleanor. You know, we all have our own unique way of preaching. And I've been doing this for 20-plus years, ministering, traveling all over Alaska, preaching the gospel. My dream and my vision and my greatest desire is to see people grow. That's what the Lord has birthed in my life. It don't matter who you are, what you are. My greatest desire is for you to grow in the Lord. And that's my greatest desire. And just like Eleanor, you know, like she cried, what about us, Lord? What about the new black people and the Yupik people, Lord? You know, you're doing this in downstate there. I see God moving here and there. What about Alaska, Lord? What about us? And I hear, you know, I hear the cry, and I have the same cry that she has in her heart. I have the same desire that she has in her heart. I hear God speaking. I hear her speak. I hear her speak tonight. I have a real strong message that the Lord has given me. The title of my message tonight is called Preparing for Ministry. And tonight I've been hearing that. Love, the love of God, how much God loves us. But one thing that I see and I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me is he desires our love for him. He wants us to love him. He loves us, but we need to return the love to the Lord. I'm going to start out with a verse from the book of Romans, and it's just like Ephesians, you know, Ephesians. Lately, you know, I'll say this. Lately, I've been feeling a different anointing in my ministry. I've never felt this before. It's strange to me, Mary. I've seen that this is a really total different anointing, and I've never thought I'd be in this stage. But I've seen it before. And earlier when Eleanor was speaking, Amos chapter 3 came to me. And unless the Lord speaks to his servants, the prophets, he will not do anything. That came to me real strong. You didn't hear me. Let me say it again. Unless the Lord reveals his secrets, his words, his revelations, his revealed word to his servants, the prophets, he will not do anything. I truly believe that Eleanor is the prophet of God. Mary is Mary Glaze is an apostle of God. I really believe that. I truly believe that. You know? I'm just an evangelist. I just want to see if you're listening. I'm an evangelist of God. I really believe, I enjoy preaching the gospel. I'm just listening. There's a lot of times that I leave my notes. I don't stay in my notes. There's a lot of times I leave my notes. And but let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. A very familiar verse that everybody talks about. But I want to share something that the Lord, when I listened to this one pastor preaching, this really came to me really strong. And Eleanor has touched a little bit on it when she was talking about prophet Isaiah. Where he was amongst the you know, all that thing that's happening around, that all the complaints and all the turmoils and all everything that's taking place in this world. But there's this one pastor that I've known that always, every time I see this one pastor that passed and went home to be with the Lord, and I was just a young bug in the Lord, just a young Christian in the Lord, and he always say to me like this all the time. He said, Michael, he said, fall in love with God, fall in love with His Word. You know, don't go after signs and wonders, and don't go after tongues and these things that people don't go around to ask. Asking people or prophets what the Lord is prophesying over you. You go, you fall in love with God, and you'll know exactly what the will of God is for you in your life, and the Lord will direct you. And this very scripture that in the Bible, it says that in Romans 8, it says, I believe in Romans 12, it says that when you renew your mind and transform your mind and allow the Word of God become alive in you and allow it to transform you, you will exactly know what the perfect will and plan of God is for you. You will know. You will walk away from it. You'll know it. You don't have to go to a prophet. And I'm always amazed at people when they go around and they say, I'm praying for the will of God. In my mind, I would say, well, what's the Word of God saying to you then? Where does the Word apply? How does the Word apply each time when you read it? Does it burn within you? Does it affect you? What does it do to you? Or is it just a mere words that you read and does nothing to you? No wonder Alaska's being rebirthed. No wonder we're being born again, because we have walked away from our first love. We need to walk back to the same principles that the apostles and the prophets have walked back to when the Lord addressed them. John 13:35. That we must have love for one another. By this I will know that we are. Let me say it again. That we are what? Oh, come on. Let's act like it. I'm not in my notes. I just feel the anointing. I'm not in my notes. I'm just obeying the Lord. I'm just obeying what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me. But listen to this. This pastor always telling me, fall in love with God. Fall in love with His Word and you will never go wrong. He told me, and I'm glad I obeyed and I followed exactly what He told me to do. I fell in love with His Word. I read His Word. I put it in me. And each time I hear something that has a revelation, I ask the Lord, Lord, what about me? Can you speak to me from that Word that you can reveal the Word to me? I want to know for myself. I want to feel it for myself. I want to experience it for myself. I need it for myself. People ask me, how did you get that Word? I tell them, on my knees. We need, the church today needs to get back on his knees. We're microwave Christians today. We're interested Christians today. We're born again. Next thing we know, we want to preach. Next thing we know, we want to cast out demons. Next thing we know, we want to prophesy. Next thing we know, we want to be the apostle. When we don't allow the Word to transform us, change us, make us, move us, and do something with our lives. I'm an evangelist. I can't help it. I obey the Lord. I'm not in my notes. I'm obeying the Lord. There are some of us who've been called and had walked away from our callings because we had not even loved the Lord enough. Oh, one person says something to me. Oh, we get offended because. But the Bible says Jesus said it. Blessed is he who is not offended because of the gospel. Jesus said that to his disciples. What are we? Are we that disciple? Are you that disciple? Or are you the offended foe that's been offended and been snared by the devil with offense? Woo! I mean, I love each and every one of you. I do. Whew, I tell you this. I got to go to that word. Listen to this. Like I said, you know, lately it's been different. The anointing in my life has been different. I haven't felt this kind of anointing before, brother. I still don't understand, but I believe I will. Listen to this. In Romans 8, and we start reading from I believe in verse 34. Who is he who condemns it? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Come on. I mean, listen to this. I have a study called Loving God, you know. Listen to this. If Jesus has saved you and made you born again, how much more can he save you with his own life? I mean, if he has to again, he'll lay down his life exactly for you. But he done it once already because he's already spoken. Some of us are still offended because we haven't loved him enough. Oh, we learn to justify our behavior. We become perfectionists. And then we take the word and we twist it and turn it and started justifying our own behavior and make the word of God what it's not to be. Oh, you know, we say we love God. But in my Bible, it says that he who hates his brother is a murderer. And then it says in my Bible that God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. And we call ourselves Christians. I mean, listen, I want to read something right here real quickly right here. Listen to this. It's a part of my notes right here, but I'm not in my notes tonight. But I want to read this. Listen, before I finish reading this right here, listen to this. The acid test of Christianity, by which we know rather we are following the examples of God's love to others, if we are not willing to give a material thing to others that are in need, we certainly would not lay down our lives for others. I'm an acid goes through anything. You know what's God's acid? Huh? Love. Yes, that's what God's acid is. Love. Why do you think when Paul spoke, when Paul wrote to the Galatians, the very first thing he said in the fruits of the Spirit is love, because he knows when you learn to love him and love God and love others, everything will fall in place. The joy, the peace, the longsuffering, the kindness, the fellowship, and then bring so on and forth. And then you'll start growing and you'll wonder, no matter what you go through, you'll have peace. Because your love for him is stronger than what you faced before you. We need to learn, you know, just like Paul, whoever wrote to the Hebrews. We need to take that junk and pack it up and throw it away. We need to get rid of it. We heard a prophetic word tonight. It's falling off. You know, it's been defeated. But like you say, you know, when Eleanor was speaking earlier, you know what came to me? Sometimes we need to be like the person in the book of Matthew, I believe in 11, in chapter 11, says, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the heaven taken by violence and the violent taken before us. Next, sometimes we just need to get up and shake ourselves and say no and say, come on, Lord. And we need to get up and do something about it and say, I need to know I'm no longer this way. I'm set free. I'm delivered. Come on. Jesus had never given up on you yet. He has never given up on you yet. You may give up on yourself, but he's going to keep on prompting you. He's going to keep on visiting you. He's going to keep on giving you a word. He's going to keep on bothering you. Because what I've learned a long time ago, brother, what God says, he's going to do it. One time I had a message, sister, what's your name again? I forgot her name. I tell you, the anointing's on me. When the anointing's upon me, I forget names. I still don't remember her name. One time I had a message called in our language, Nabaiduchi. And in other words, you're too quiet. Bite to see Sister Mary. We allow too many things to happen, even as preachers. We learn to justify their behavior. Oh, we might lose me. Come on. I like what my professor said, Christian Harfus. He goes, I'd rather offend you with the gospel than not, because I can pray you back into the kingdom. Yeah. Let me say it again.
You didn't hear me.
I said, I'd rather offend you with the gospel. I could pray you back into the kingdom. You know, tonight, I believe we're going to have a victory. I totally believe tonight that I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. There are offended people tonight here. They've been offended by the church, by the preachers, by the pastors, by other elders. When, you know, I'm going to read something in a little bit. I'm going to close in a little bit. I mean, you know. Look at Jesus. Prophesy who slapped you. Prophesy who spit on you.
Not even the Bruce Reed. I mean, look at the apostles and the prophets. They whip them, they beat them, tell them that they're preaching the name of Jesus. And when somebody says something to us, we get offended, we get offensive, we give them a piece of our mind. When the Bible says, hold your peace.
You know where I learned that? In my home. Ask my daughter right here. My daughter's right here. Stand on my bunny. Ask her. Ask her questions. I've learned to love in my home no matter what. I've learned to let go of things no matter what. At any cost, I love and I hold my peace. And I see what the Lord can do. Oh, they said this to me. Yeah, look what they said to the Lord. Jesus said it like this. He said, if the world hates you, come on. If the world hates you, marvel not because they hated me first. And then you say you have Jesus in you? Come on, if he died on the cross for you and he saved you, how much more can he save you with his own life? He's the restorer of the breach. Lay down your life at any cost. Bring him back into the kingdom. Come on, put that offense away. Swallow that pride. Spit it out of your mouth. And allow the Lord to use you under the unction and the anointing of God. I mean, we've seen many people the Lord uses to restore back into the ministry. I've seen it so many times. I had a pastor, who cussed me out, bawled me out on me, and said all kinds of things before me. And then he went home, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. Call him for dinner. Uh-huh. Amen. I won't call him. He said this to me. Hey, brother, it's dinner time. Where are you? Came in with tears in his eyes. Look at me, said, what's the matter with you? I told him, I love you. I love you. And today that man is back in ministry. Today that man is playing his kedar and singing for the Lord and lifting the name of Jesus higher and higher and higher. And I believe when we learn to do that, we'll see more people win to the Lord than never before. Whew. Come on, listen. I'm listening to him. I'm almost done, brother. Oh, listen to this. This is a good one. Well, I left this church because so-and-so said this. I left this. Come on, the Bible says, pray for the elders of the church. The Bible says, pray for your pastors. Don't run just because he said something wrong. Pray that he get a revealed word, a revelation. Pray that God will anoint him, use him. You should listen to my wife. I always pray for her. Oh, thank you for Michael Paul. He said, oh, look at my mistakes. See, look at what a good God can do. You know what God's interest is? He's not interested in what you've done yesterday that was wrong. He's interested in what he can do through you today. Yeah. That's what he said to me. He's not looking at yesterday. That's gone. It's been accomplished already. But he wants to see what he can do through you today. He's ready to use you, but he said, I'm looking for a willing vessel. An obedient vessel. He told me, he spoke to me earlier during prayer, I'm going to direct your path. That's what he said to me. I'm not in my notes. My, my, my. What God can do. Let me finish reading this verse. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at, but let's finish this. My Bible's upside down. wow, wow. Such a strong anointing. I could feel so much pain out there, though. I could feel so much pain, and the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to set you free. The Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to touch you. Right here, and you know, I have to hold my Bible together. And then verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us." You know what Christ means? Tell me, you know what Christ means in the Jewish language? You know what it means? It means the anointed one. When I heard that, I was like, one time, listen to this. I want to say something to you. Real quick, this is just a bonus. I want to say this to you. One time, and you know, just like I said, one time he spoke to me, he said to me, "Michael, I want you to be careful what you say to your fellow people or your children, because they accomplished what you speak over the life because of the anointing that's within you." And if you have Jesus in you, when you have Jesus in you, the anointing is upon you and he's inside of you. The anointed one's inside of you. You say, "I'm broke," then you're broke. You say, "I'm poor," then you're poor. You say that you're sick, then you're sick. When Moses went up to that burning bush, was it Moses? Yeah, it was Moses. Went up to the burning bush, he asked him, "What will I say to your children?" Tell them the very first thing he said, "I am that I am." When he says, "I am that I am," Hebrews 11:1 said, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for." And each time that you speak, you're speaking faith, because Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And each time that you speak something over someone or over a situation, you're speaking faith over it. It's accomplishing, and you're planting seeds over that. And the more you see that, your seeds start budding and start accomplishing something, rather death or life, blessing or cursing. It will accomplish something, whether you like it or not. It's a spoken word, because God, when he created heaven and earth and he made his word, he exalted his word above his head. That's why a long time ago I made up my mind. It doesn't matter what I go through. I know what God can do. I know I may be broke, but you know, he told me, you know, he said like this to me, "Whatever you acknowledge, I will do." He said, "If you acknowledge it, you know, I'll do it for you." And I said, you know, even though when I'm broke, I said, "Lord, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. When I'm sick, only healing flows out of my body. When I'm sick, when something is taking place in my life, I quote the verse over my life." But it's got to start in your home. Not outside, not on the four corners of your home. It's got to start with you. You got to put a word in you until you feel it start burning inside of you. Oh, I tell you, I've been, you know, I tell you, since 1989 of December, this fire is still burning. You know, people say that they burned out, but this fire still burns in me. I don't know what keeps me burning, but I believe it's the love of God that I have for him keeps me burning. Amen. I haven't stopped yet, brother, and I'm not going to. The anointing is still upon you. The day the Lord gave it to you, it's still there. He hasn't given up on you. Listen to this. And I'm going to close with this. Wow. For I am persuaded, neither death or life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What he's saying is this. When you love the Lord with all your heart, no matter what comes your way, your love for him will not change. That's what he's saying. We know we always twist it. We always turn it around. God, yes, he loves us. But when you love the Lord with all your heart, no matter what somebody say to you, your love for him will never change. You'll keep trusting in him. You'll keep hoping in him. You'll keep obeying him. I made up my mind a long time ago. I don't know about you, but I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to obey him. There's time that people give the word and the Lord will speak to me. I want to give a word. But they tell me next time, do I get offended because of that? No. Because there's an opportune time. There's an opportune time. Not everything. Just like Paul said, not everything's for me yet. I just don't run and do it, or I just don't get offended just because they never call me, or just because they never say, just because a pastor never shake hand on me. Oh, he didn't shake hand on me. He didn't even say hi to me and didn't even look at me. And I'm like this because I was raised like this. Oh, liar. It's just a demon that's controlling you. I was born like this, liar. Come on, be set free. Be delivered. I believe there's a house coming for you, real big time. I've been praying for that over you. I've been really praying that for over you. Woo, Lord bless him. Amen. Just like she said, we need to learn to celebrate one another. We don't do that enough. Look at the book of Acts. Come on, read the book of Acts. Read it over again. I get, look, they celebrated each other. They shared it. They shared it. They gave to each other. They didn't say, oh, this is mine. And they said, here you go. Come on, here. They didn't say, you're a stranger. They didn't say that. He said, here, come on. Here, I want to bless you. I love you, brother. But too many times we love with doctrines and profession without action. Too many times we do that. We're perfecting the word. We're making it no effect. Our eyes is on the world too much. Complaints and all these things. My eyes! You know what? Let me tell you where my eyes is. Come on! Acts chapter 2. And the last is, oh, pour out my spirit and upon all flesh. Yeah. I don't know about you. I know the Bible says parasites. But my Bible also says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. That's what I'm looking forward to. Let's everybody stand. Everybody. Ooh. He tell me I'm not done. He says, you're not done. Some of you had a real good relationship with other ministers or pastors or preachers. But something took place, he said. Something took place where the enemy has come slyly, real sly. real sly and caused a barrier between you and that person. When the Lord wants to accomplish what he wants to do through that person in your life, that they may import gifts into your life. And the enemy has hindered that and has caused that to stop in your walk with God because of the offense that took place in your life. I mean, tonight he is preparing. He wants to take you further than where you're at. Further. But we must break that barrier. He's going to break it tonight. Amen? The Lord told me to say it again. I'm going to say it again one more time. Some of you had a real good relationship. But something took place. Somebody said something or done something. And you know, and that gift, and that, you know, God has a gift in Mary, in Eleanor, in Robert, in the sister, in Brother Tim. But somebody says something to you that caused you to be offended. That enemy has taken and caused a hindrance between you and that person, so that you would not receive the impartation of being established in the kingdom of God. I keep hearing a verse that comes to me. Can I read one more verse? Can I read one more verse? I want to read one more verse and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 3. I love the word. I love this brother right there. I don't know who you are, but I love this brother right here. Hey! We're about to shift, yes, I believe that. Listen to this. The very last verse, right? Listen to this. Let me find it right here. Verse 8, and I'm done with this, and I'm going to turn it over to our brother. Finally, he says, all of you, every one of you. That means me and this brother that's right here. How many of you have been blessed tonight? Amen. It's time to go back to the basic principles of the gospel. Finally, brethren, all of you, he said, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning for evil, or reviling for revival, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing.